The Christmas season is certainly over. I know that because of all the greeting cards in stores are about hearts and love and Valentine's. Our readings for this third Sunday of Ordinary Time gets right down to business and tells us that the real work of Christmas, the real reason Christ was born, now begins. In our Gospel from St. Luke, Jesus returns to his hometown, Nazareth. He goes to the synagogue of his youth. His friends, his neighbors not only invite him to read the scripture, they ask him to give the sermon. This was a distinct honor. They must have heard that he was a major new preacher in Galilee. The people were eager to listen, but what they heard was shocking. Jesus picked up the scroll, read a very familiar prophecy from Isaiah, a passage all of them would have known. And they would have known also that it speaks of the Messiah. Jesus, this hometown boy, this neighbor of theirs, now grown up, startles them by saying, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was telling them that he is the Messiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," he tells them, "because the Lord has anointed me." The very word Messiah literally means anointed. And in the words of Isaiah, Jesus tells the people what kind of Messiah he is. He tells them that he has come to bring good news to the poor and the forgotten. He has come to tell them God is not only interested in them, God loves them, cares about them. Jesus also told them that he came to proclaim liberty to captives and those who are oppressed, to give sight to those who are physically blind, and to tell the spiritually blind to open their eyes, their minds, to truth and love. He has come to bring healing and wholeness to the broken. He has come to declare in the midst of a starving world, an oppressed and persecuted nation, that this was the time of the Lord's favor. Now, not just someday, but now. Now is a year of acceptance to the Lord. Today, this scripture is fulfilled even as you and I listen to it. He told the people the same. This was his inaugural sermon. This is why he was born. This was the agenda he had, the theme and the mark of his ministry. It was, and it still is. But now, we are the ones who must help fulfill it by the grace of God. You see, as St. Paul says in that second reading, we are the body of Christ in this world. Each of us is part of it. We are the disciples. We have been anointed by the Lord. Jesus needed disciples in those days, and he still needs them now. What kind of disciples? The kind we see in the first reading today. People who listened to the Word of God and then responded to it. "Amen, amen," they said, with great conviction and dedication. Throughout the centuries, good and faithful people in every generation to what God asks of them. There's a story about an ancient king of Babylon who came back to life, and he visited one of the modern cities. His host first showed him the darker side of the city, the bars and the brothels, the drug dens, and so forth. The king was polite, but bored. "We had all these things in Babylon 3,000 years ago," he said. "Have you nothing new to show me?" So the guide took the king to churches, orphanages, daycare centers, public libraries, universities and schools, hospitals, public health clinics, research laboratories, shelters for the homeless, rehabilitation centers for the disabled, soup kitchens, and more. "Ah," said the king, "all of this is new. We didn't have such things in Babylon." And that's right. They didn't have all those things in the ancient world. And we can be proud that much of it is a direct result of people in our time and before us saying amen to God. Amen to what God asks of us. How we are to treat this world. How we are to treat one another. God asks of us, and we must say yes to God's intentions for the world. Much of this is our proud heritage as Christians, and it is also our constant challenge. When we say amen, and we say it often, we are really saying, "Yes, I believe." We say amen to every sacrament we receive. When the priest or deacon says, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," we say amen. When we are absolved and forgiven in the name of the Lord, we say amen. When we are confirmed by the power of the Holy Spirit, we say amen. We say amen about a dozen times in every Mass, from the sign of the cross at the beginning of Mass to the blessing at the end. We say amen when we receive the body of Christ. We say amen, or we sing it at the end of the Eucharistic prayer, and we call that the great amen. In the 4th century, Saint Jerome said that when Christians said their amens at Mass, they sounded like rolling thunder. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we sounded a bit like thunder when we say our amens today? The work of Christmas has begun, and we are challenged to keep saying amen to the Lord, and to say it as though we really mean it. Amen?
Amen.
Rolling thunder. Amen?
Amen.
I love it. Let me hear that throughout the Mass, every Sunday.